Today, Kenneth teaches from God's Word on the important connection between believing God's love for you and becoming a person of honor who avoids the devil's traps. After the message, find out how you can receive Kenneth's book on honor absolutely free. Now to the BVOV.
2 Timothy chapter 2. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to go ahead and begin with the 20th verse because there's some really, really good things in here. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth or mud, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man or if a person, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. So see, being a vessel unto honor wasn't God's choice. It's our choice. I mean, you can stay a mud pot if you want to, or you can be a vessel unto honor. Amen. I believe I've been a mud pot as long as I want to be. Amen. Take me out of the garage and take me on up to the big house where they can use me in the dining room or something. Anyway. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or able for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness, faith. You're supposed to be following after faith. You're supposed to be doing something with your faith all the time. Because without faith, you're not going to be nothing but a mud pot. Follow after righteousness. Follow after faith. Follow after love. Follow after peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they do gender strife. Now, I won't take time to go look up all the scriptures of this, but let's say it like this. It isn't just foolish questions that gender strife. You need to stay away from strife at any cost. Any cost. And I'm about to show you why. I mean, it's a killer. It is a killer. You remember in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, these are the way by the wayside where the word is sown on stony ground. That was the first one listed, right? Do you remember what the problem was with the ones sown on stony ground? Had no root in themselves. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, they become offended. Jesus said, they became offended, or the scripture said, the people in his hometown became offended at him, and there he could do no mighty work. Didn't say he wouldn't, said he couldn't. So the power and strength of their being offended cost them his mighty works right there in his own hometown. How many people do you suppose after that might have died in the next few days with some disease that could have been healed if they'd have just got off of their mad for an hour?
Right.
Religious mad.
Right.
Jealousy. Anyway, now I want you to remember that, have no root in themselves. Say it. They have no root in themselves. Say it. They had no root in themselves. Now then, the servant of the Lord, verse 24, must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, right? long-suffering in the King James translation. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, or the ones that are fighting with one another, the ones that won't forgive one another. If God, peradventure, or perhaps, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now here, we just got through talking about the tormentor. But he is nobody to buddy up with. He came to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, let me warn you. A lot of people quote that kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus did not. He said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. His first tactic always has to be to steal the word out of you. If he can't get the word, he can't steal your goods. He can't. He's not after your money. He's after the word. If he can steal the word out of you, you don't have any faith. And if he can catch you without any faith, then you hadn't got any grace. And if he can catch you without any grace, everything else you've got, he already owns it. Or he'll kill and destroy, because there's no faith to stop it. See how dangerous being offended is?
Yes.
Well, let's okay, yes, sir. I was about to get ahead of myself, and the Lord arrested me. Well, you know, I just work here, you understand? Amen. I want you to look in the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, please. Now, God loves me. God is love, and he loves me. People, you remember what we read there back there in 4:16? We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Not just known it, but known and believed the love that God has to us. Well, Brother Copeland, I believe God loves me. I would say, and this is just from, you know, being around a long time, I would say at least 90 is probably more than that. I'm just really giving you a break. Most, I'll put it that way, most all Christians mentally ascend to the fact, they mentally agree with the fact that God loves me, but they don't believe it in their heart. Do you remember when Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat? The storm is raging. Do you remember what they said to him?
Yeah.
They woke back there and woke him up and said, "Don't you care Amen. That we're dying?"
Amen.
Don't you care? Does that sound like they believed he loved them? No, they believed they were going to let them all die right out there in the middle of the lake. Now, don't get you mad on towards them, because everybody in this room has done it. I don't understand how come you let this come on me. I I've been confessing this thing for 4 days, and I don't understand how come you... So, I don't know. I'm just doing the best I can. And I, what did I do to deserve this? You, what? What did you do to deserve? Hey, if you got what you deserve and I got what I deserve, we just fall down and go to hell right now. It ain't nothing but the one who loves you and his grace. That's the only reason you walk and standing up. Hallelujah. Don't you care? Amen.
Amen.
Believe the love. That means have faith in God who is love. Having faith in his love for you.
Yes.
Believe in it.
Yes.
I don't care what I feel like, I don't care what it looks like, and I don't care how hard it is for me to wrap my brain around this thing. I refuse to believe anything except he loves me and he didn't do this to me and he's not behind it. If anybody's to blame for it, you're going to find out it's me. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The moment you come to that, things start changing. It may be a while before you see them. It may be a while, even longer than that, before you feel like it. But who cares what your feelings think anyway? You cannot afford to base anything in this, even in the mental realm, on the way you feel, much less the spiritual realm, because you can't feel faith. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the way it comes.
Well, yeah, but Brother Copeland, now I think it don't make any difference what you think. It doesn't make, it makes less difference than what I think.
What does the Bible say? Have you ever read anywhere where God said, pray, and I'll give you faith? Boy, if you did, that's a different Bible than what I've been reading for 50 years. Did you ever read where it said, ask and pray and seek God and he'll get the devil off of you?
No,
it isn't in there. No, the scripture says, you cast him out. You take my name. And you cast him out. Well, we can't relegate to him what he's already relegated to us.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And this is the way this same thing concerning faith coming. Now, here's what... please get this. My. Faith cometh as you allow God's word to have entrance and access to your spirit. You allow, and how do you do that? Well, you just simply say, that's the word of God. I believe that. I choose to believe that. See, we're well aware. Well, let me go ahead and finish my statement first before I get into that. Faith comes. You don't have to seek it. You don't have to ask God for it, because you already have it. It's already in you. You were saved by faith. And it's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God dealt unto every man the measure. See, that those two scriptures say the same thing.
That's right.
So the faith is in there. What is faith? Faith is a spiritual force. And maybe we'll have some time to spend more time at that. But I really want you to get this before we close tonight. Faith cometh. And as you feed on it, as you listen to it, as you read, let's talk about faith for healing. You read out loud your healing scriptures every day, and you feed on them, and you think about them, and you meditate on them. Every day, God's word is having access to your spirit, to your heart, to the inner man. And that's where the force of faith lives. And as you keep doing that, faith cometh, faith cometh, faith cometh. And then as you begin to use it, you begin to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Then faith automatically begins to grow. And here again, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, and he said, your faith groweth exceedingly. Hallelujah. Ooh, that gets to me. I like that. Grow. See, your faith will grow. You got a measure of it, but that measure will grow. The scripture talks about, it talks about strong faith. Talks about weak faith. Well, if you can have strong faith, weak faith, you can have, if you're full of faith, you can be half full of faith. I mean, it's measurable, in other words, is what we're talking about. So, I wanted you to get that, though. It's coming right now. It's working in you right now. Well, right now, it's easy because the anointing that's in this room and the power and the assistance that we have, not only by the Holy Spirit, but all the angels of God that are working in here and so forth, then this is a very comfortable way and a very comfortable place to feed your faith. It's just fun. I mean, amen. Of course, you don't enjoy it half as much as I enjoy teaching it. I tell you, oh, Lord. Amen. But I wanted you to realize that even while you're at home and you're just meditating those scriptures, faith is coming. Faith is feeding. Faith is growing. Faith is growing. And you can't feel it. You can't feel it. What you're sensing and what you're, quote, feeling in here right now is not faith. What's happening in the soulish part of you that's being affected by love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What? Fruit of the Spirit. That's on the inside of you. And it's working you. But you can't feel the faith is what I'm doing my best to present here. But you know it.
Yes.
You know it. And you know it.
Yes.
And you know it.
Yes.
And you know it. And let, because Satan's coming. Jesus said he was, so he's coming. Amen. He's coming. What's he going to try to do? He's going to try to steal everything you get in here tonight. He's going to try to steal it from you. Because what a lot of people hadn't realized, but the healing power of God's been working for about the last 25 minutes, and it's really, really strong.
Amen.
Praise God. Particularly over in that right corner over there, my right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Legs are being healed. All kinds of problems in the knees and in the ankles. And in soreness of the joints, in the ankle joints and in the toes, a concentration of the healing power of God from the waist down all over the room. Glory to God. All over the room. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I told you to look at John 13:23. So you believe in your heart that God loves you? Do you believe in your heart that God loves you? Then say it with your mouth. I believe God loves you. All right. 13th chapter of John, verse 23. Do you believe that the Apostle John was there on the day that Jesus taught Mark 11, 23, 22, 23, and 24, and 25? Well, of course he was. He was right there. Peter was the one that spoke up after he spoke to the fig tree. But John was right there. And he heard Jesus say, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he says will come to pass, then he will have whatsoever he says." You believe he was there? I believe he was there. And I want to tell you something. If you check it out for your own self. Read the Gospels and check it out. He was the only one that didn't run. How do you think this man got that strong? Well, let's see how he did that. In the Gospel that and he wrote in the 13th chapter, and look in the 23rd verse. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of the disciples whom Jesus loved." Okay, look at the 19th chapter. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.' Then he saith to the disciple, 'Behold thy mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home." And then the 20th and the second verse. "Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." 21st chapter, 7th verse. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter." He believed what Jesus taught all the way through his ministry. Jesus said, "Therefore, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them." What was his desire? To develop the love of Jesus in his life. So what did he do? He confessed it. "I'm the one that he loves. Jesus loves me. Jesus loved John. I am the disciple that Jesus loved." Glory to God. Glory to God. Now then, and I'll close with this one, I believe. Back to that 13th chapter there. 23rd verse again. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." That's close. He's laying in his lap. "Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke." Ask him who it is. Come on, John, ask him who it is. You ask, no, man, I don't have the sway with him. You do, John. Come on, John, you ask him. So what John do? John turned around and said, "Who is it, boss?" he was not just familiar with him. I mean, he had believed this and said this until it was so big on the inside of him that he began to know that Jesus is love. And he carried it all the way through the rest of his ministry, and he outlived them all. Are we getting anywhere? Amen. Well, stand up, please. Thank you, Lord.
As we heard today, becoming a vessel of honor is a choice. It's a choice that you make, a decision that you make with your will that you are going to honor God, and then you allow Him to transform you into an honorable person, a person of integrity. Now, that process is supposed to begin early on in our lives. And when it does, God promises that when children honor their parents, what's going to happen? They're going to live a long and satisfied life. Things will go well for them, the Bible says. And obedience has to do with our actions, but honor's all about the heart. It's all about what's going on in the chambers of the heart. Now, you can't just wait on the society and culture that we live in to teach you about this, to show you what it is to honor other people in this society. That's why we've got to get into the Word of God and find out what His Word says about honoring others. That's why when you order this free gift that we're offering you today, this book by my grandfather, Brother Copeland, entitled Honor, Walking in Honesty, Truth, and Integrity, you get these things into your life, you become a person that doesn't just blend into culture, you stand out. You stand out like a light in darkness. That's why you've got to get these things into your life, and that's why we make them available to you for free. This is our gift to you. So if you want it, all you have to do is let us know. You can call, you can email, just ask for your copy of the book entitled Honor. Now, speaking of honor, here in the United States, we are celebrating today Grandparents' Day, and I happen to have two of some of the greatest grandparents that have ever lived. And I honor you, Mimi and Papa, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. What a shining example of what it is to walk in integrity. You've taught your children, your grandchildren, now your great-grandchildren. We love you, and your family all over the world loves you and appreciates you. Father, we thank you for the lives of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and what you've done to impact the world through them. Father, they're a gift, and we thank you for it. Thanks for watching the broadcast today. We love you so much, and we'll see you again next time. Until then, remember, God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. The Believer's Voice of Victory is available free on DVD, CD, or MP3 and MP4 downloads. Call 800-600-7395 or go to kcm.org/TV special and request your free copy. Continue to grow in God's Word and build your faith with this week's free TV offer. Order your copy today. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year.